What if the hero we all know and admire, well, wasn't really all that heroic? Think about Frodo Baggins, the iconic ring bearer from The Lord of the Rings.
Of course.
Today, we're not just like rehashing that familiar story of courage and perseverance. We're taking a deep dive
Okay.
into this really fascinating essay. It's a corporate satire that dares to ask, was Frodo actually kind of getting a free ride?
Exactly. We've got this really intriguing piece. It's called Frodo Baggins, Middle-earth's Most Useless Hero, a corporate satire.
Right.
And it takes a very different angle on the quest to destroy the One Ring.
How so?
Well, instead of focusing on Frodo's bravery in, accepting the ring, it argues that his actual contributions might be more like, well, like someone in the corporate world who inherits a big title but relies really heavily on their team.
Precisely. So our mission today is to unpack this unconventional perspective.
Let's do it.
We're going to examine the evidence this essay lays out, compare it with what we know from the books, and really dig into the key takeaways about teamwork, leadership, even what we consider heroism.
All through this surprising lens of corporate satire.
Yeah. So for you listening, this means we're going to dissect this fascinating viewpoint, see what it tells us about how we understand heroism, contribution, maybe even in our own lives, our workplaces.
And look, this might just change how you see a beloved story, but trust us, this deep dive is going to be packed with fresh insights, some pretty funny comparisons,
Definitely humorous.
and a perspective you probably haven't considered before.
Okay, let's get into it then. Frodo,
Yeah.
hero on paper.
Right.
Initially, he is presented as the central figure, isn't he? The one chosen to bear the ring to Mount Doom.
Yeah, he steps up.
This perspective actually compares this to, like, a project lead inheriting a really critical, maybe even dangerous account that nobody else really wants.
That's a great analogy, actually. Frodo steps up at the Council of Elrond. It's almost like someone in a big meeting nervously volunteering for that super tough assignment. But the essay's central argument here is pretty blunt. It says Frodo's actual tangible contributions beyond just taking the ring are, quote, questionable.
Questionable. Ouch.
Yeah. It even points out that there are these long-standing fan jokes,
Yeah.
discussions about him being useless.
Oh, yeah. The Sam did all the work thing.
That exact refrain.
And this piece really digs into this, starting with combat.
Right.
Frodo's battle record is described as empty as an intern's resume.
Huh.
I mean, think about it. He doesn't actually kill a single orc, troll, or, well, any enemy throughout the entire war.
Is it right? Zero kill count.
Zero. It highlights that every other member of the Fellowship manages at least one kill. Sam stabs an orc.
Merry helps with the Witch King.
Pippin gets a troll.
Aragorn, Legolas, Gimli. Obviously, tons.
Exactly. Everyone else is contributing in that way.
And what's fascinating here is the contrast. Frodo has these, like, feeble attempts, right?
Yeah, the stab at the Nazgul Lord on Weathertop.
Which does nothing.
And poking the cave troll in Moria.
Also, basically nothing. No real damage.
It even mentions that kind of humorous, sarcastic title some fans gave him. Frodo, the slaughterer of hordes, the murderer of millions.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that really underscores this idea of a hero who, well, doesn't actually do any of the fighting.
Right, so beyond not fighting, this reliance on others extends to just constant rescues.
He needs saving a lot.
A lot. He's far from this independent hero figure. It seems like he survives purely because his teammates are constantly bailing him out.
Like at the Fort of Bruinen.
Prime example. He's gravely wounded by the Witch King. He's fading fast and has to be rushed to safety by Aragorn and Glorfindel or Arwen, depending on the version.
And Mori is another key one. He survives the cave troll. How?
Thanks to the mithril coat Bilbo gave him.
Ah, yes, the coat.
Which this perspective hilariously frames as a bit of nepotism, like getting a perk through connections.
While Aragorn and Boromir are the ones actually fighting off the troll and all the orcs.
Exactly. It's like he's got this protective bubble around him, but it's created by everyone else's efforts.
Absolutely. And this line of thinking doesn't stop there, does it?
Not at all. Gandalf literally sacrifices his life fighting the Balrog.
Huge moment.
Specifically, so the rest of the Fellowship, including Frodo, can escape Moria.
His whole purpose there is to save them.
Then you've got all the later battles, Helm's Deep, Minas Tirith, the Black Gate, Frodo is completely reliant on the fighting prowess of Aragorn, Legolas, Gimli, everyone else.
Well, he's off on his own quest.
The corporate analogy here is pretty cutting. Frodo is like that team member who just observes the problems while everyone else is scrambling to actually fix them.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the ultimate goal, destroying the ring.
Right, the main objective.
This perspective makes a really strong point. It titles it, Project Drop the Ring, Failed.
Failed. Harsh.
Well, it details how Frodo, after being escorted and protected all the way to Mount Doom,
the very end,
completely fails at the final moment. He claims the ring for himself.
It's the ultimate irony, isn't it? He gets to the finish line, the 1 yard line, and then fumbles the ball.
Totally. This essay likens this to a project manager refusing to deliver the final report and, I don't know, trying to steal the company's flagship product.
Wow. Okay.
And what's fascinating here is how the mission actually succeeds.
Yeah, despite Frodo.
It's because of Gollum, whom Frodo had actually spared earlier, remember?
Right, the pity of Bilbo, the mercy of Frodo.
Gollum bites off Frodo's finger, gets the ring back.
And then accidentally falls into the lava. Whoops.
Exactly. So it emphasizes that the ring is destroyed in spite of Frodo's final action, not because of it.
It's almost as if his biggest achievement was just, like, surviving long enough for someone else to accidentally complete his quest for him.
Pretty much, according to this view.
Now, the essay does acknowledge the immense psychological burden of carrying the ring.
Okay, that's important.
It's a significant point, and, I mean, no one can deny the terrible toll it took on Frodo.
Absolutely not. It's crushing.
But then it quickly pivots back to the satirical comparison. Like, okay, yeah, tough burden, but still...
Yeah.
Like an underqualified manager being completely propped up by a really strong, dedicated team.
It's a harsh lens, but yeah, thought-provoking.
It really is. And this sets the stage perfectly to introduce who this perspective positions as the real hero.
Let me guess.
Sam Ozegemgi?
Knew it. He's presented as the overworked, undercredited assistant manager.
The true MVP of the entire quest. That's the argument.
Right. It states it plainly. Without Sam, Frodo would not have made it to Mordor. Full stop.
No mincing words there. And then it goes into detail about Sam's crucial contributions. I mean, think about Shelob.
Oh, God, Shelob. Terrifying.
Frodo foolishly goes off alone, gets stung, paralyzed, looks dead.
And then it's Sam, just Sam, who single-handedly fights off and defeats this monstrous giant spider to save him.
What's fascinating here is the analogy they use.
What's that?
Like an executive assistant not only cleaning up the boss's mess, but wrestling a literal monster that was definitely not in the job description.
Huh. That's good.
Yeah.
It really highlights how Sam consistently goes above and beyond, doesn't it?
And it doesn't stop there. After Shelob, Frodo gets captured by orcs.
Right. Taken to the Tower of Cirith Ungol.
Sam, instead of just, you know, giving up or running away, he infiltrates the orc tower.
All by himself?
And rescues Frodo. This piece compares this to an employee storming a rival company's Fortress HQ to save their captured CEO.
That's quite the image. And remember, Sam even takes the ring for a short period there.
He does. And handles it pretty well, all things considered. Shows a strength of will.
A strength Frodo often seems to lack at critical moments, arguably.
Exactly. And beyond the, like, the big action moments, the combat and rescues, Sam is the constant support system.
The logistics guy.
Totally. He's the one providing food, water, cooking, but also keeping their spirits up. Telling stories of the Shire, that speech about strawberries and cream.
He's like HR and operations support rolled into one loyal package.
It really makes you think about all the essential, often thankless work that keeps any large endeavor afloat, whether it's a quest to destroy a magic ring or just, you know, the day-to-day running of a company.
And you can't forget the iconic moment on Mount Doom itself.
Oh, definitely not. Sam literally carries Frodo up the final stretch.
I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you.
That line just perfectly encapsulates the entire argument here, doesn't it?
It really does.
Frodo, totally broken by the ring, is physically and emotionally unable to complete the task.
He collapses.
And it's Sam's unwavering loyalty and sheer physical strength that gets them to the precipice, to the edge of the cracks of doom.
The essay points out that Frodo's limp form draped over Sam's shoulders is the ultimate visual metaphor for who truly did the heavy lifting.
And it's worth noting, isn't it, that even Tolkien himself referred to Sam as the chief hero.
He did. Tolkien was very clear on Sam's importance.
So this perspective contrasts Sam's actions, his strength, his courage, his optimism, relatively speaking.
With Frodo's, well, frequent whining, collapsing, and remember how often he offers the ring to others? Galadriel, Gandalf, Aragorn, even Sam, like, please take this burden from me.
Yeah, constantly trying to pass the buck in corporate terms.
So the conclusion here is pretty clear. Sam carried Frodo, figuratively and literally.
Okay, so beyond Sam, the essay argues the entire Fellowship and their allies basically formed Frodo's supporting task force.
Right, covering his weaknesses.
Constantly. Let's talk about some of these key individuals. First up, Aragorn.
Aragorn, the king in waiting.
This essay labels him the distracting decoy, leading that desperate charge to the Black Gate purely as a diversion.
That's a brilliant comparison, actually, the fake product launch in the corporate world.
Right, like, throw something flashy out there to draw attention.
Aragorn risks everything, his army, his life, in this seemingly hopeless battle, just to draw Sauron's eye away from Mordor, away from Frodo and Sam.
It's pure strategy. Risking his own department's resources for the main project's success.
And let's not forget all the earlier times Aragorn saves Frodo, Weathertop.
Moria, after Gandalf falls, he steps up immediately.
He's the leader who takes charge. The essay even highlights Aragorn's dedication, quoting his line, "I would have gone with you to the end."
Even after Frodo just kind of vanishes at Parth Galen.
Yeah, Frodo just ghosts the team chat, basically, leaving Aragorn to deal with Boromir's death, Merry and Pippin's capture.
Yeah.
A total mess.
Okay, then there's Gandalf. The essay dubs him the consultant who dies for the project.
Huh. Accurate. He sets the whole mission in motion, doesn't he?
Guides the Fellowship, provides the initial plan, and then literally fights a Balrog to the death so they can escape.
The analogy to an IT guy heroically blocking a catastrophic virus is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Gandalf's sacrifice is portrayed as the ultimate commitment to the project's success.
And even after he comes back as Gandalf the White, the new and improved consultant.
Right, Gandalf 2.0.
He continues to provide crucial guidance and support. Helm's Deep, finding the Rohirrim, advising Denethor the paths of the dead.
He's constantly steering things. This essay sharply contrasts Gandalf's massive efforts with Frodo's early interactions with him back in Bag End. Mostly just asking worried questions.
Fair point. Okay, next up, Legolas and Gimli.
Ah, the dynamic duo.
Labeled the whole department of getting stuff done.
Love it. Because they might not interact directly with Frodo much after the Fellowship breaks.
But their relentless fighting ensures that countless enemies aren't bothering Frodo. They're clearing the path, in a way.
Exactly. They're like the high-performing specialist teams, IT and security, maybe.
Yeah.
Constantly neutralizing threats behind the scenes so the main project can proceed.
Legolas taking down a Mumakil.
Gimli's iconic still only counts as one line after helping take down another Mumakil.
They're just focused on the practical work of eliminating obstacles. Frodo probably isn't even aware of most of the threats they deal with on his behalf.
Indirect support, but absolutely crucial.
And then we have Merry and Pippin, the interns who surprise you.
Huh. Okay, the interns. They might seem like comic relief initially, or just baggage.
But they end up playing surprisingly crucial roles, don't they?
Absolutely. Merry helps Eowyn take down the Witch King. Huge.
Pippin saves Faramir from Denethor's pyre, kills a troll in the Battle of the Morannon.
And their involvement with the Ents. That leads directly to Saruman's downfall at Isengard.
Yeah.
A major strategic victory.
What's interesting here is the point the essay makes. Frodo's decision to leave them behind at Parth Galen.
Which seemed like abandoning them.
Indirectly leads to their greatest successes. It's like these underestimated junior employers left to their own devices on a side project end up achieving major wins for the company.
That's a fascinating wrinkle. His absence enabled their heroism.
And finally, Gollum, the unsuspecting closer.
Ugh, Gollum. Definitely not part of the team. More like hostile third-party contractor.
Something like that. But his accidental destruction of the ring is what ultimately saves Middle-earth. It all stems from Frodo's mercy in sparing his life earlier.
This essay acknowledges this as perhaps Frodo's one truly noble decision that had a direct, massive payoff.
It's compared to, like, keeping a troublesome ex-employee on the payroll who somehow ends up inadvertently saving the company from disaster.
Tolkien himself really emphasized the importance of Frodo's mercy towards Gollum. It was essential.
True, but the essay is quick to point out Frodo still failed the final act. He claimed the ring.
It was Gollum's desperate desire biting off the finger that actually got the ring into the fire, not Frodo's intention.
Right. Okay, and one last group, the Great Eagles.
Ah, yes. Upper management intervention, swooping in at the very end to rescue Frodo and Sam.
This perspective sees them as exactly that. Upper management appearing after the project's success, or near failure, to do the cleanup and take a victory lap.
It even touches on that perennial fan question. Why didn't they just fly the ring to Mordor in the first place?
And compares it to those obvious solutions and corporations that somehow get ignored until the very end.
So putting it all together, this essay paints this picture of Middle-earth as a corporation with some very uncomfortable parallels.
Definitely. Frodo is the project manager, but in title only. Inherits the role, struggles, delegates maybe unintentionally.
Sends the occasional motivational email, perhaps. Near total burnout by the end.
And gets the credit and a golden parachute back to the Undying Lands.
While Sam is the overachieving employee, the reliable assistant manager who does all the real work, handles the logistics and the row, goes way above and beyond.
Never seeks credit. The essay notes how extreme, almost unhealthy, his devotion is, and what that enables for Frodo.
Then you've got Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli as the cross-functional team, heads of different departments, strategy, security, orc disposal, dedicating their resources.
Gandalf is the senior advisor or consultant, sets things in motion, provides guidance, makes that ultimate commitment.
Comes back for the final push.
Merry and Pippin are the interns who surprise you. Initially underestimated, maybe even seen as liabilities.
But delivers significant results on crucial side objectives that impact the main goal.
Gollum is the outsourced wild card. Extremely risky, unpredictable.
But ultimately delivers the final critical deliverable, albeit accidentally.
And the Great Eagles are upper management intervention. Show up for the photo op at the end.
The overall picture is, well, absurd, isn't it? Frodo is the figurehead who receives the most praise.
Sails off into the sunset.
While practically everyone else is doing the actual dangerous, difficult work. It's like the CEO getting Person of the Year when the engineers built the revolutionary product.
It's a really humorous, maybe even cynical, but definitely unconventional way to look at a classic story.
It certainly makes you think about the dynamics of teamwork, leadership, and credit in all sorts of contexts, not just Middle-earth.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, it's important to reiterate, this was a satirical exploration, right? Based on that specific essay's viewpoint.
Yeah. We're not saying Frodo was entirely without merit. Obviously not. He did show incredible courage just by bearing the ring for so long.
And his mercy towards Gollum, as we discussed, was undeniably crucial. Can't overlook that.
That's right. But by looking at the story through this corporate satire lens, the essay highlights some surprising insights about teamwork, about leadership, about how credit often gets distributed, maybe unfairly sometimes.
It really makes you consider who is truly carrying the weight in any large undertaking.
Yeah.
So here's maybe a final thought for you, our listeners, to chew on. After hearing this, when you think of heroic journeys, or maybe even just your own workplace, who are the Sams? Who are the Aragorns, the Gandalfs, the ones truly carrying the load, often without the spotlight?
And what does bearing the burden really mean? Is it just the psychological weight, or is it also the actual doing?
And maybe, just maybe.
Well,
did Frodo's very uselessness in certain practical areas actually allow others, like Sam, like Aragorn, like Merry and Pippin, to step up and become truly heroic in their own right?
That's a fascinating point to consider. Did his weakness create space for others' strength?
Something to think about.
Well, thanks for joining us on this slightly heretical deep dive into the sources.
We hope this new, perhaps slightly uncomfortable perspective on a classic tale has given you something interesting to mull over.